the book of Acts, chapter 18 tonight. This is a pivotal chapter in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. This is where we have the record of Paul going to the city of Corinth. And, of course, we know that Corinth became a very important church. It is a church that's mentioned time and time again in the New Testament. Not all about that church was good. There were some problems later on in the church. We find tonight the first time or the first journey that Paul makes to this city. And as he is there in this second missionary journey, we find that he preaches and people are saved. And as we've mentioned about every chapter, when somebody preaches, there's usually somebody that gets saved, and then there's a church that is established and started and continues on for the work of the Lord. We can relate to that. We know churches that have recently been started. We are supporting missionaries that are starting churches. We support people that are doing that. And so what we're praying and desiring that we could do the very same thing that Paul and the different ones in his group did as they traveled in the area here of the New Testament, and began to open up the way for the gospel to be preached and to be able to give the message and the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me turn on this. Last week, we were in chapter number 17, and we find that Paul was in the, or went to the city of Thessalonica. He was in Philippi, and of course chapter 16 talks about the Philippian jailer and those folks that got saved in the city of Philippi. Now, he's a far distant piece from where he started in Antioch, and especially Jerusalem. And so Paul has traveled a number of miles, and this is his second journey that he is on. And we have followed him last week from Philippi, and then those two towns that were mentioned in verse number 1. And as he passed through those, he ended up in Thessalonica. And we've noted that that church was established. And again, we have two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, written back to them from Paul after he's put in prison. He writes to them. Now, we find that he went from Thessalonica because of the conflict of the Jews. And he traveled to Berea. And there, the Bible says, where we studied last week, that the Jews that were from Thessalonica came over and bothered and troubled Paul when he was at Berea. And then last week we find that Paul traveled from Berea and he makes the trip to Athens, the southern part of Greece. So last week we left Paul in Athens, and now we come this afternoon and we find in verse number 1 of chapter number 18 that says, after these things, after those things have been talked about in chapter 17, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So here we find in the first verse it identifies that Paul is making his travel. He leaves Athens, he leaves Mars Hill, he leaves that place where he preached the gospel to those folks and said they were too superstitious, and he preached to them preached a message concerning the unknown God. Many people come to know the Lord, and some follow the Lord, and now Paul moves, and he goes to the city of Corinth. And so this is where we find our most of the things tonight that we'll be dealing with is in this city of Corinth, which was a major stop for the Apostle Paul. He made a great impact upon this city. He was certainly used of the Lord, and people came to know Jesus Christ, and multitudes came to know the Lord. So let's look at these, really the first 18 verses, 17, 18 verses, deal with Corinth. But we'll just sort of divide them up a few at a time and look at them tonight as we make this travel and see what he did as he's come to the city of Corinth. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for For by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Again, this is Paul's manner. We have seen this time and time again. When Paul goes into a city, he finds the synagogue, he finds the place of worship for the Jews, and he does this again as he comes to the city of Corinth. Corinth is about 40 miles away from Athens, so he's made this trip. It's on that southern isthmus of Greece. And at the time when Paul was there, there was probably about 1 million people that lived in that city of Corinth. So it was a fairly large city. One of the interesting things about Corinth, having that many people, there's about half of that population were considered to be slaves. And so it was a slave trading town. It was a town that was a commercial center. The city had much emphasis with sporting events, and they loved their sports, but it was a very sinful city. It was a city that was very immoral and had gambling and influenced by the heathen religions as they traveled. You see, Corinth, where it was located, is right on a main route as people travel north, south, east, and west. Water on either side of it fairly close, and so it was sort of a crossroads of many people. And as those folk came in, they were very wicked, and the heathen religions would bring their heathenism with them, and the practices of the people from all around the world became a lifestyle of this place called Corinth. But there's a bright spot here in this town. There's a couple. This two that is listed here at first, we find these folks were Jews, found a certain Jew named Aquila, and then his wife Priscilla. The writer, B.H. Carroll, which is a writer from days gone by, very, very good Baptist writer, he made the statement about these two. He says, these are probably the most notable married couple mentioned in the New Testament. And you'll find as we continue to read and continue to see some things, we'll find that these two, this husband and wife of Aquila and Priscilla, they became very used of the Lord and was blessed with being with Paul and being very helpful to the ministry of Paul. Look over in 1 Corinthians just for a moment. We'll turn to a few chapters tonight. We usually don't do a lot. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 19, 1 Corinthians 16 and 19, Paul says, as he writes to the church of Corinth, where he's there tonight in our study, has made his first trip there. Later he writes the letter to the Corinthian church. He says, the churches of Asia salute you, Aquila and Priscilla, salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So here we find that Paul is now writing from the house or from the church that was in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. And so they were very, very instrumental. They were very used of the Lord. Over in the book of Romans, chapter number 16 and verse number 3, Romans 16 and verse number 3, it says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So these folks that he met here at Corinth, they became very used of the Lord. So he says, greet them, as he writes this letter to the Romans, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So we find two times Paul mentions these people having a church that was in their house. You know, sometimes we think that a church has to be like what we have. Sometimes we think we have to have a building. Sometimes we think we have to have a place that we call certain Baptist church or certain church. But these folks, they had their church, had the church in their house. And the people would gather in their house, and there, because of lack of a better place, they would meet in their home. And Paul makes mention of that, how that they had laid down their, I like the wording there, he laid down their necks for Paul. They had literally put themselves in harm's way for the Apostle Paul. And here tonight in chapter 18, the Bible says when Paul came from Athens to Corinth, he found the Jew and his wife Aquila and Priscilla. And so the reason they were there is because as they had lived in Rome for a while, now rules have been given, laws have been put forth, persecution has come, and all the Jews are run out of that place, and so they're settled in Corinth now for a while, and they're there because of the persecution that came to them. And as they were there, they were well versed in the Scriptures. In this same chapter, verse number 26, it says Aquila and Priscilla. It says we'll just read verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And there he's talking about this man Apollos that we will deal with probably next week. But here they are well versed in the Scripture, that when someone was lacking in their knowledge, they took them aside, and they used the Scriptures to help them. And so we find that these two people, this family, became very, very loved of the Apostle Paul. They accompanied him on that first trip to the city of Ephesus here in verse number 18. After this tarried there yet a good while, and then took leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. So we find that they were partners with Paul, and they were very useful in the work that God had given them. And you know, God always brings people that are useful to the Lord's work, and He brings people together that can get the job done. And here, everywhere that Paul goes, he's meeting and he's dealing with folks that are lost, and Gentiles that know not God, and Jews that don't know the Lord, and they have their religion, they have their synagogue, but they really don't know God. He's gone to Athens, and there he sees all the different idolatries, and the Bible says that Paul's heart was stirred within him, was troubled because of what he saw. But what a breath of fresh air, I'm sure it was, when he came and found Aquila and Priscilla. What a breath of joy it was to find somebody that accepted and believed and were believers, and therefore became partners with him in the work of the Lord. And so we thank God for that. And we find that they had something in common in verse number 3. They were tent makers. The Scripture says here that they had the same craft as Paul. And they were tent makers. They were that was their job. That's how they made their living. And that's how Paul made his living, sometimes on the side. He would work and make tents for folks. And so these people, they had something in common, not only just making tents, but thank God they had something in common in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I tonight, we have something in common. We may do different things, we may have different thoughts and ideas, but we have something in common, and that we have the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. And we can rejoice around Him, we can communicate the Word of God between each other, and have partnered together in this church and partner with our missionaries around the world to get the gospel out. And I believe we follow the pattern that the New Testament gives us, and so we are thankful to the Lord. Now the Bible says here in verse number 4 that he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So here we find that every Sabbath day, Paul would go into the synagogue, as we have found already in reading up to this point, that was his method, that was Paul's manner. And we find that over and over again. The Bible says in verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And so now we find that in verse 5 that Silas and Timothy have been left behind. They are now caught up with Paul. And Paul, the Bible says, was pressed in his spirit. The word pressed there means that he was burdened in his spirit. He was driven. He had a compulsion. His co-workers have now come to be with him, and he's picked up two new ones, and he is just burdened in his heart, and he preaches or he testifies to the Jews that Jesus was Christ, or of course we know that means that Jesus was Messiah. That was the message that Paul had to the Jews, that he has come, Messiah is here. And as he went to the different places and went to the different cities, he would go to the Jews, and he would be burdened and would be troubled because of their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he testified. I would have loved to have heard the Apostle Paul testify. We read some of his testimonies. We can find it in the Scripture how Paul talks about his conversion and the different things. That's his testimony. But when the Bible says here that he testified and that he was pressed in his spirit, or he was burdened down, or he was constrained, he felt the immediate need that he had to tell the Jews that Jesus Christ, He is the Messiah. And he gave them that story and that message. Always, usually as it took place in verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, notice what Paul does. He shook his raiment and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." Paul said, "While I'm here in this place, I shake my clothes." And he says, "The blood of is on your head. You've been given the truth. You've been given the message." And Paul says, "I'm clean." He meant, really what he meant was that there's nothing that could be held to my charge against me. God knows I have done exactly what needed to be done. He preached in the synagogues that Jesus was Messiah, or that He was Christ. They oppose Him. They blaspheme. They have a vigorous opposition. That word "oppose" there, it doesn't mean they were just against Him, but they were physically against Him. They were spiritually against Him. They were opposing Him in a way more than just words. And so they were vigorous in their opposition, and they were vile. The Bible says they blasphemed. And it's something here. These folks are supposed to be godly people. These are people that are the Jews. They are the people that are going to the synagogues. These are folks that are supposed to be real, but they blasphemed. They were talking against the Lord Jesus, and they were blaspheming against the name of the Son of God. And so Paul vindicates himself. The Bible says he shook his clothes. He puts the burden upon them, "Blood be upon you, and I am clean." And so Paul says then that he is going from that point on, that he will go to the Gentiles. "Henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." That's why we find that Paul is known as the apostle to who? To the Gentiles. He's the apostle that brought the gospel and spread the message of salvation to the Gentile world. Even though he was a Jew of the Jews, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, yet God used him and made him the person that could be used of the Lord to bring people to Christ that were Gentiles. And you and I tonight, as Gentiles, we ought to be very thankful for the marvelous work that the Apostle Paul did. Somebody says, "One man can't make a difference." We're reading tonight where one man made a difference. You read the life of Paul, one man made a difference. Why? Because he was sold out to the Lord. And as he was zealous in his life as a lost person, he was zealous. He was always, he did the best he could with what he had to persuade people of what he believed. Now Paul meets the Lord on the road to Damascus, becomes a Christian. Now he's zealous for the things of God. And so he goes and he preaches. And he preaches to the Jews, and they reject him. They oppose him. And so he cleanses himself. He said, "The blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." Verse number 7. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. That little phrase there, "joined hard to the synagogue," could mean that it was right next door, or it could have meant that it was joined to. It was joined hard to the synagogue. So now we find that there's a change taking place. The only change is the place of preaching. The preaching doesn't change. The preacher doesn't change. The message doesn't change, but they just leave the synagogue and go over here to the house of Justus. And this house is close to where he was. People were used to coming to hear Paul, and now all they have to do is go next door, and they can continue to hear Paul without the opposition of the Jews. And so He departs out of the synagogue. He goes to the house of justice. He's a man that worshiped God, another believer, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And then verse number 8, And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. That's interesting. Here's the ruler of the synagogue. Here's the ruler of the Jews. What happens? He hears the gospel. Guess what? It's good for the Jew and the Gentile alike. And this man got saved. He's the chief ruler of the Jews, Crispus, and says he believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Here's the pattern. They hear, they believe, they're baptized. Nobody will ever get saved unless they hear the gospel. That's just a fact of the Scripture. If a person doesn't hear, they cannot be saved. The Bible says, for faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. And so Paul preached, they heard, they were saved, they were baptized. And so we find that these folks were, it says in verse 9 where we read, it says, and many of the Corinthians, many of this city, remember now, he's traveled to this city and he is preaching the gospel. Where is it? Preaching the gospel. And many of that city, the chief ruler of the Jews, and he's had to move out of the synagogue, and he's got him a storefront building. He's got him a house church, and he's preaching the same gospel. And as that ruler of the Jews had heard the gospel, he believes on the Lord and his house. I'll guarantee you that stirred the problem. I'll guarantee the news got out of what had happened there. And then the Bible says that there's many, many converts. I went through the Scripture this afternoon, or this morning rather, and there's more people mentioned as converts out of Corinth than any other city or any other church in the Bible. Acts chapter 18, verse 7, there's Titus, Justus, 1 Corinthians 1:14, a man by the name of Gaius. 1 Corinthians 1:16 is Stephanus. 1 Corinthians 1:17 is Fortunatus. It goes on and on. Sothenes, Quantus, and I listed there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people that had been in, that were of this city, that now have become Christians and they believe the Lord and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And these corrupt people, remember the city is very corrupt. The city is a crossroads and they're chained with heathenism. But they are saved. Go with me if you would and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Here we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, Paul writing back to the church. Been some time now. He writes a letter to them. And the Bible says tonight that many of the Corinthians were saved. And you say, well, that's great. Well, let me read here tonight what kind of people that was in the church of Corinth. And may we never think that we're too good for anybody to come. I'll tell you what, the gospel of God can change everybody. And praise the Lord for that. Notice what kind of people is in this church. Know, in verse number 9, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, know you not that the uprightness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Notice verse 11. And such were some of you. That's the crowd that got saved in the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't want a drunkard in my church. If he gets saved, he won't be a drunkard anymore. I wouldn't want an effeminate. If he gets saved, he won't be anymore. I wouldn't want that kind of person, and I wouldn't have that in our church. Well, if they get saved, they're not that anymore, but such were some of you. And Paul writes back to this church of Corinth and tells them that this is what you were. tonight, what would we be if it was not for the grace of God? Where would we be standing? Where would we be in that list if it wasn't for God's grace that came to us one day and made us a new creature in Christ? When the Lord moves in our heart, all those other things have to move out. And praise the Lord, He changes us. And so Paul says these converts, these people, even the chief of the synagogue, have been saved. They hear, they believe, they're baptized. In verse number 9 here, God, the Lord gives him counsel. Says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in a night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Here we find the counsel from the Lord. I like the first thing God says to Paul, Be not afraid. You can stand, you can preach. They may be against you. There may be opposition. There may be blasphemous things said. Paul, just have peace. Be not afraid. He says also to proclaim the message, speak and hold not thy peace. Paul, I'm with you. So you just preach. You just speak. Don't be afraid of their looks. Don't be afraid of their words, because I'm with thee. I'm there to help you. I'm with you. There's the presence of God. And here we find the protection of the Lord. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Paul had the promise of God. I'm going to protect you. You just preach. You proclaim. And I'll take care of it. And then he has a promise. What a wonderful promise it is. You know, only the Lord can make this statement. He says, I have much people in this city. The Lord says, Paul, you preach, because there's many people that are going to hear and going to be saved. Only God can make that proclamation. Now, I may think there's a lot, I may hope there's a lot, but only the Lord can know and say, I have much people in this city. Thank God tonight for the sovereign knowledge of the Lord, God of heaven. And Paul had the ability and had the promise of the Lord, the protection. And you just don't be afraid of them. You speak, hold not your peace, I'm with you. What a great promise that is. What God can do for us. And of course, as the Lord gave that promise and gave them those things, and the Scripture says He continued there for 1.5 years. That's a pretty good long stay. 1.5 years for the Apostle Paul. And he preaches and he teaches and he establishes a church. You see, when they're baptized, they're beginning to formulate a church. And he's there for 1.5 years. And I don't know how big the church of Corinth got. That really is not important. But I do know one thing. As he preached and as he proclaimed the gospel, there was people that would get saved because the Lord said, I have people in this city. Verse number 12. Here we find there is a court. There's attacks and accusations, action against Paul. There's even assault here in these next few verses. But look at verse 12 down through verse number 17. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge in such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sophonies, the chief ruler. Here's another chief ruler of the Jews. Crispus has become a Christian, his family. Now, Sophonies is the chief ruler. He takes his place. And they take this man, Sophonies, and they beat him before the judgment seat. They beat him because these folks are Greeks, and he's a Jew, and so there's an uproar there, and Gallio will not hear their problem, and so they just beat the Jew. Well, if you look a little later, you'll find that Sophonies is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, as a believer. There's no reason to say it's a different man. Very possible this is the same man that here is beaten of the Greeks, and he also comes to know the Lord. And so we find that the attack, the insurrection, the word insurrection means they rushed upon him to hurt him. And their accusations and the action was against Paul for his preaching. We ought not be too surprised when people don't like our gospel. The world has never enjoyed. The world has never liked. The world has never taken the gospel and brought it to themselves. There's always been the assaults and the problems. Look at verse number 18, and with verse 18, just a couple more verses, we'll be done. And after this tarried, Paul after this tarried there yet a good while. And when he took leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Well, now Paul leaves, and he ends up. These next verses tell us how he gets there, but we'll not have time tonight to do that. But he leaves Corinth, and he ends up in Syria, this area. But he makes some stops along the way, but he ends up in Syria, and we'll do that next week. The time is at hand with us, and too much material to cover. And so we'll take up here next week in verse number 18. And then when we find here, this is the beginning of his third missionary journey. So we've covered in a few weeks a lot of territory, a lot of traveling, a lot of churches. And Paul, next week, we'll find in verse number 19 that he came to the city of Ephesus. And he was there for a little while, and later on he goes back. And again, another church is established, a church that we have in our Bible, that is written a letter called the book of Ephesians. So that's why we've called this series, and I've said this a number of times, that we've tried to instill in our hearts that the New Testament church is a continuation. It didn't just stop. It didn't just have its glory days. It didn't just start in Jerusalem and stop there, but it continued on. And we are seeing the progress being made by this man, Apostle Paul, and his helpers. Paul couldn't have done it by himself. I'll tell you what, we can do nothing by ourselves. We have to have the Lord, first of all, but we need each other. And Paul had Silas, and he had Timothy. He's got Luke. He's got now Aquila and Priscilla. And so Paul has a group of people that are with him. They're preaching the gospel, and as they preach, there is opposition. But thank God for the promise of the Lord. He said, I will be with you. You just proclaim. You just preach. I'll be with you. I'll protect you. You see, they as soon as the Lord told Paul he had his protection, the crowd rose up against him. And the Gallio, he wouldn't even do anything about it. Why was that? He's a weak ruler. Why was that? Because God said, I'll have protection on you. They're not going to hurt you. You preach the gospel, and he stayed there even after that. A time when they come after him and tried to run him out of the city. The Bible said he stayed yet a long while. You know why he did that? Because he had the promise of the Lord. I have people in this city. They need to hear. And as they heard, they were saved. And as they were saved, they were baptized. And they were a continuation of this New Testament church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which I believe we are part of tonight. We believe and hold the doctrines of the Word of God. And we are part of that continuing story of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight.